podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney. Book your obligation-free in-home appointment with the most trusted name in solar. Visit solarheartsydney.com.au.
This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
Can't move again, son.
Please, be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Hey, well, welcome to The Watch List. My name is Russ Matthews from Real Dialogue and my wonderful co-host, Laura Bennett. How are you today, Laura?
Hello. I am well. I'm so ready to talk about wind.
Exactly. Because I want you to know is that if you feel it, you're going to chase it. And today we're chasing it. And I'm really looking forward to kind of talking about this in a bit because Glenn Powell hasn't always been a favorite on our show. So to be able to kind of bring this up in this new film called Twisters. And so Twisters is going to be exploding into cinemas. And so we're able to kind of talk a little bit about this. It's a kind of a follow-on, if you can believe it, it's been 3 decades since the 1996 film with Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, way back when, as far as the tornadoes heading across Tornado Alley in the United States. In this one, we're introduced to Kate Cooper, who's played by Daisy Edgar Jones, and she strives to implement a new experiment to track and diffuse the power of tornadoes. But of course, tragedy strikes and she kind of gets pushed to the side for a while until her friend Javi, who's played by Anthony Ramos, invites her to come back to Oklahoma to track these tornadoes and try to find out what it is that they can do specifically to be able to reach and maybe impact the culture in regards to these windswept tornadoes. But along the way, of course, they come in contact with the social media phenomenon and self-proclaimed tornado wrangler, Tyler Owens, who's played by Glenn Powell. We got to figure out, is this a good guy or a bad guy? But it's kind of fun to be able to go along and see what this journey kind of brings us. So here's where we are talking about Twisters.
I will tell you straight away, straight up, unequivocally, this is Glenn Powell as he should be.
There you
go. I was so excited because after having not loved his characters at all in Hitman, after watching what was the most atrocious movie of all time.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe you're saying this. Oh my goodness.
Twisters, I went so far as to say that Twisters, and I still believe it, is one of the handful of films that are saving cinema. And I am okay with crediting Glenn Powell and his character Tyler Owens as playing a part in that. So thank you for coming back around to the kind of characters that are your sweet spot. I don't want to pigeonhole somebody. I don't want him to feel like he always has to do this. I just want everyone to see sense and realize that this is the sweet spot, the lane for Glenn Powell to truly, truly thrive in, I think.
I think so too. I think that, you know, Top Gun Maverick was great. Now, personally, I did like Hitman, so I can't say that it's the worst movie of all time, but I haven't necessarily said that Glenn Powell is one of my favorites, but he does do a great job. And this is really his type of film. It's action. It's kind of, he has to have kind of that moxie about him, be able to kind of go with the swagger. But I think that he is not the only thing in this whole film. Mm. You're looking at Daisy and also and Anthony, two significant characters, even though there's so many others that are in it. I really felt like it was a good chemistry of the three of them, as well as the rest of the cast, because they both have their teams and they're kind of make that action happen. And so I really felt like, even though, yes, Glenn Powell definitely is kind of the poster child of this one, I feel that it's really kind of an ensemble cast that really, I think they brought together, surprisingly, a really good mix of people to be able to kind of really make this whole thing happen.
Yeah, they do all each have their function in not just the friendship team dynamic and how they each contribute to that space in this movie, but then each of their characters are wrestling with a particular facet of how we relate to Twisters, how we relate to the phenomena of natural events. So that does actually work really well. But I will also quickly point out one other thing about the Tyler Owens character.
Okay.
Is the fact, because he is, by all accounts, the arrogant guy that you would want nothing to do with. Like, go away, take your monster truck and your YouTube cameras somewhere else.
Please.
Be, you know, in the track of a twister in Tornado Alley. Go away. But there's something so likable. You know, there's a likability that I think wins you over a little bit where you otherwise might reject that character. So I think that needs to be said. But also, Anthony Ramos playing his role in this, he to me contributes a bit of the conflict. Like, do I want to chase storms because I want to understand them? Do I want to help society? Or is there some kind of personal financial gain that could be had from mastering the twisters, from being able to predict where they're going to go and helping developers essentially cash in on these kind of disasters.
Yeah. Oh, I think he definitely plays that conflicted character, but then on top of it, bridges between the two worlds of the Daisy Edgar Jones, kind of her idealistic, I just want to help people mentality, to the Glenn Powell, who I am the influencer. Even though there's a nuance to him, you'll find throughout the film that actually kind of makes him more appealing as it kind of goes through. And so I really felt that, yeah, I think that there was a depth of story to this that I was kind of surprised by. You kind of expect a disaster film, not necessarily to be as deep, but I really felt that they were able to do that. Mm-mm. There is a bit of romance, but not necessarily. Really, that's not the main focus, but I'm going to have to say the standout character for me was the special effects. I mean, I was totally in as far as the tornadoes, even though I know they ramp it up and each one gets even bigger and bigger, but the sound effects and everything, I mean, to the point, because I mean, I grew up in Tornado Alley. We grew up with the tornado drills and all that sort of stuff back in the United States. And all I was doing, I literally found myself yelling out at the screen, would you get to the basement already? What are you doing getting in a car? Don't get in a car, you know? And I mean, I know I was frustrating my friend next to me as I said, well, he's dead, you know? I mean, so it's just like, you know, throughout the whole thing. But I really found that that's probably what really grabs you about kind of these natural disaster type films is that they could really make it convincing that this whole thing really is going on, even though you may never experience a tornado in your life.
And I like the blend between what they're delivering as a disaster film, the extremes, the bigness, the vibrating cinema seats as you feel immersed by everything that's happening on screen, and the soundtrack for this one too. It was so much fun. It has all of that. But they do then also have a way of really resonating with the fact that in these kind of disasters and in everything that's going on, there is still also a human cost, and there's a consequence for when these things come through a small town and how that impacts people. And for Daisy Edgar Jones' character, for Kate, the trauma, like she represents the way that the experiencing something like this can sit with you. And I'm sure for you, as somebody who grew up in Tornado Alley, as somebody who would have seen others face these kind of stuff, there is this collective community trauma, personal trauma that can happen when you see your livelihood completely shredded in front of you, when you see friends, when you see family lose lives. And this film doesn't shy away from that. Like it has the oversized fun and wildness, but it then also has these moments of heart, even though there may not be many of them, that touch on that side.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I mean, I think that's what makes a good disaster film effective is that plausibility of it and the believability, even though there is kind of an extreme. I mean, there's one scene in a movie theater that I thought was brilliant, but you're kind of going, oh, this is a little over the top, but it was so good in the sense of the visual effects. But then on top of it, just you wanted the characters to survive. You want them to be able to help the different people. And so I really felt that, yeah, it really connected for me more than I really thought it was going to. It's worth going back and seeing the original, not necessarily because these two stories are connected. Really, the only thing about these two things is that they're both about tornadoes. But what you can appreciate is three decades on is the special effects and what they're able to do and really show the impact that this has and also really how scary those things tend to be. I think that's probably one of the things that stood out for me too is the whole notion and idea of we're really not in control of any of this. I mean, that they're thinking that they are or that they can by putting some cans in the middle of the the road for this tornado to go over and that somehow it's going to have an impact. But really, there's little control that we have. And so for me, it also just kind of points towards who is in control, who did create all these things, including tornadoes, and that would be God. And then really having the answers to what we can actually know and understand about this world is that who is truly in control of this? Because really, in the end, we're not. Even though I remember hearing the sound, the sirens going when I was a kid, you'd go down in your basement or you go in and get in your bathtub and, you know, you think you have some sort of control, but you don't. So really to be able to kind of put your hands into the one that is in control is God. And I think I was surprised that I didn't expect for a disaster film to get me to be able to kind of get to something from a faith standpoint, but I think that really does. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think it does too, but it's in different kind of ways because I actually went and rewatched the first one. Oh, after seeing the new one the night before, because I did see in watching the new one, there were little nods to the original. Like, as you said, they're not completely tied together, but there were nods even from costuming to some of the scenes, to some of the dialogue, there's this tie-in. But when you rewatch the first one, I noticed their tone was a bit more about exploration and understanding. And it had this awe factor of this group of people that right. saw this phenomena in front of them, didn't really know what to do with it, how to control it, what it sort of was, but they somehow wanted to understand. They somehow wanted to contribute to that progression of scientific understanding. Whereas in the new one, it is a bit more about control, but it also seems to be about personal benefit and that personal gain. And it was like, to your point, I think it's right to say, you know, we aren't in control of so much, but it's that same cliche of we can only control our response, which is what we're left with.
Right.
But in the new Twisters, that response to me was filtered either through a lens of protection and preservation and safety, or you had a response that was more oriented towards personal gain, wealth creation, and power in that kind of dynamic. Like, what would it mean to be able to predict and control tornadoes, and how could you personally gain from that?
Right.
But then also, if you're involved in picking up the pieces, is that always philanthropic, or does it have some kind of manipulated motivation on occasion, which I think was a distinction in this film compared to what they were wanting to talk about in the first one, but both have valuable perspectives.
Right, yeah. I love that you bring those things up, because it is, those are things that are very pronounced. Like I said, surprisingly gives a depth to this story, usually with disaster films, because I was even kind of going through and looking at, most of them are pretty, you know, two-dimensional, and they're really kind of focused more on the visual effects and all that. While this, they do bring great visual effects, but they are able to bring the human factor and really the tensions that come from this and really what they're able to do. Mm. And I think that's even why the nuances, probably why we even like Glenn Powell in this film more, because there was a depth of character that initially, when you're watching the trailer, you're going, oh, really? You know, here he is. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, yeah.
But
really, it's fun. It's fun.
It's totally fun. And I think that's something to be said. I mean, there are some scary elements and some elements that would keep this kind of more to a mature audience. But it is one that I think is pretty accessible to most people if you really enjoy this sort of film.
Yeah.
And it probably went right up to the top of my list, even kind of right up there with the original Twister, for one of my favorite films of this genre, as far as the disaster genre.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I would say even maybe favorite films of this year to some degree. I'd have to go back and let me check the list and make sure. But it's definitely, as far as I can remember, it's the most fun I've had in a cinema in ages. Like, genuinely watching a movie, being fully focused on it, fully gripped by what was happening, and enjoying myself, feeling some sense of experience, not just observing a story, if that makes sense. It takes you in and it takes you for a ride, and you feel it, you experience it, you hear everything. And I just came away thinking, that is what cinema should be.
Right.
Yes, a certain genre of cinema. Yes, a certain kind of cinema, for sure. You wouldn't want all movies to be like this one. But I just loved it. And I thought, there's not really a lot of movies like that that give you that. And also, too, from a disaster movie standpoint as well, that don't have some kind of political opinion or agenda in them,
I suppose. Yeah.
You know, like absolutely, yes, as I mentioned, you know, it talks on corruption and, you know, all of that side of things to a degree. But this wasn't one that had like a climate change message, or this didn't have, you know, an environmental angle, which I'm not saying that's not something to give attention to.
Right.
But it was interesting to me that they chose to totally set that aside, when this kind of movie normally would be a backdrop for that kind of discussion to be had. And they just didn't do it.
No, they didn't. That's one thing I really loved about it. Because the thing is, sometimes it takes away the enjoyment when you're sitting there going, oh, I'm waiting for it, because here comes that moment, you know, in these films where they make the big statement or something. And they did make some statements on morality, like you were saying. But I really felt that that's what I really enjoyed about it, was it just was entertaining. It really is one of those, and I know I bang this drum a lot, but it really needs to be seen in the cinema to really be appreciated, because wow, when you're surrounded by it, I mean, for me to be yelling out going, you know, get in the basement, you know, I mean, I'm like going, wow, I'm really into it. And also, it just kind of draws on so many of your other experiences and things along those lines.
And that's why I said before that it's one of the films I think genuinely is part of the saving of cinema.
Oh,
like, it doesn't have to be like Christopher Nolan's Tenet, Oppenheimer. These kind of ones were the ones that people said would do this. Barbie, obviously. But it's like, those films are of a different kind and would probably be viewed as a little bit more like up there, and not Barbie being highbrow maybe, but some would be seen as these kind of ones.
Yeah.
Whereas Twisters is not that, doesn't claim to be that. But I think it is one of the movies that makes people who go to the cinemas get the value for money and go back to sitting in a shared experience like that. So I think we have your answer, Russ, but is this on the watch list?
Oh, yeah. I would definitely say, I say grip it and rip it or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say.
Grip it and rip it. My gosh. I don't remember him saying that. It sounds painful.
I don't
painful.
Think he did say it. I don't think he did say that one. But anyway, so if you feel it, you definitely need to chase this one straight into cinemas because I think that it is worthwhile. It's just a lot of fun. And it's also one of those great moments where you can just enjoy it together, I think. And so This is definitely one of the ones on the top of my watch list for 2024. How about you?
Yeah, it's up there. I am watching this. I'm chasing this. I'm buying the t-shirt. You'll understand that if you watch the movie and totally giving Glenn Powell some extra chances after Twisters. Good choice on this role is all I will say. And Daisy Edgar-Jones, I don't eliminate all of the others by highlighting Glenn Powell, but great ensemble cast. It goes on the watch list.
It definitely goes on the watch list. So this one is definitely a winner for us. And even with Glenn Powell in one of the lead roles, and I think it's really worthwhile getting out to see. Well, that's it for the watch list. And again, my name is Russ Matthews from Real Dialogue and Laura Bennett from Hope 103.2. I want to thank you so much for you coming along. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And also you can find the podcast as well as our video on Hope 103.2 and our YouTube channel. And unfortunately, too, for a while, we're not going to have you, Laura, even though the watch list is going on. So, hey, what's happening over the next couple months?
Yeah, so signing off at least for a little while, I'm going on long service leave. So I'll be away for about 10 weeks, actually, which is going to be a lovely extended break. So I won't be here on the watch list, but definitely subscribe. Ben McKechnie, he's going to be stepping back into my shoes for a little while. So yes, keep enjoying the watch list, keep tuning in, subscribing and the like. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Solar Heart Sydney, the most trusted name in solar, with over 70 years of experience on Sydney's rooftops.